So let's talk about this COVID vaccine, because you just brought it up. mRNA.
Right.
What does this mean? And
let me try and characterize this. DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid, are at the basis of our genetic structure, if you like, in every cell, is turned in codes for protein. And it transfers its information to make the protein through messenger RNA. So messenger RNA is an intermediary between the gene and the product, the protein. It's the protein that ultimately elicits the immune response, not the RNA. If you want to make a vaccine, it's protein that you give, whether it's bacterial protein or viral protein, whatever it is, it's the protein to which the human immune system develops the immune response. So, by definition, an RNA vaccine isn't a vaccine at all, because it doesn't elicit an immune response. It has to be turned into protein, and it's the protein in turn that creates the immune response. A messenger RNA vaccine is actually genetic engineering. That's what it is. It's putting genetic material from an RNA virus into your cells and asking the cellular machinery with the RNA to produce protein from your cells, to which you then mount an immune response. What could possibly go wrong? You have cells in your own body that are producing protein to which your immune system is going to mount an immune response. That's called an autoimmune disease. So the potential for this to go horribly wrong is enormous. It's never been used in humans before. It's never been tested out, and yet it's been rushed to market in these circumstances in the Pfizer vaccine. And we're already seeing some major problems occurring. I think there were 2 cases of anaphylaxis. I think there have been deaths that have just been reported. So what is going on? We need to know. But firstly, a vaccine for this is a misnomer. It is not a vaccine. It is an intermediary product which leads to the production of a protein that generates a so-called vaccine. And it is genetic engineering that has never been tested out in human beings before. And if it causes a problem, a year, 2 years, 5 years down the line, and it's already been given to billions of people worldwide, it's too late. You can't take it out. You can't switch it off. You can't stop it. It's in there. It's like, if I can, as a filmmaker, equate it, it's rather like Jurassic Park that is about to escape the island, in my opinion.
Why?
Why?
Mate, seriously.
Why? It operates on many levels, Pete. Scientists operate in laboratories and they have great ideas, and they think that that idea is going to translate into something to save the world. Some of them really genuinely think that, but they're living in such a microcosm, such an intellectual vacuum, a bubble, that they don't see the problems. What they see is the success of their brainchild. Because we can, we should. No, because we think we can, we're prepared to take the risk on other people's behalf. That's the truth of it. And so many times, science has got it wrong. Science has made assumptions about its ability to exploit and exert dominion over nature. But nature will not have it that way. And what you found in the Human Genome Project is when they tried genetic engineering, when they changed one gene that they thought was a key defect in a disease process, they thought they would correct that, but they didn't. What they did is to have a knock-on effect on multiple other genes, switch them on, switch them off, upregulate them, downregulate them. They did not expect that, and they had to abandon that kind of project because we do not understand so much about the way in which the complexity of the human body, the complexity of the human immune system operates. So to assume that a scientist sitting in a lab can devise the idea of an RNA vaccine that then suddenly captures the imagination of public health officials and gets put into billions of people, there are many, many, many steps that have been missed out in between. And whenever it's been done, this kind of thing, it's had alarming results.
So take me through the process. You said there's the scientists that, they're not nefarious, they're doing their job. What's the chain of events above them, or who authorizes the next steps to the point where Boris Johnson is with the first patient to take the vaccine? Is there anyone ringing the alarm bells along that chain of command?
Yes, there are, I'm sure, but they get silenced very, very quickly. Because what happens very quickly is you have the scientist in the lab creating the idea and showing in a cell culture system that it might work, or at least works in that isolated cell culture system. And then what happens is the corporate arm of the company comes along and says, right, that's very exciting. That could make us a great deal of money. We're going to file patents on that. And then we're going to exploit it. And we're going to offer this to the government, who are now terrified of this pandemic. They don't know what to do about it. They're not virologists. They're not epidemiologists. They're not scientists. We can put the fear of God into these people, and then we can exploit them to get what we want. And this is exactly what we did. The reason I say this, Pete, is because I've just made a movie about it. I've just made a movie about how the vaccine makers exploited fear in government officials, in politicians, in public health officials, in order to get liability protection for damage done by their vaccines in America. They had no liability for vaccines that were on the recommended childhood schedule. They could not be made to pay for damage done. The vaccines were mandatory. They had a perfect market. All they could do was make a massive profit. And they saw that at work. They saw that process work in 76 with swine flu vaccine. They saw it work in 86 with the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act. They've now seen it work with what's called the PrEP Act, which is all vaccines in emergency situations. And now they've exploited it worldwide, except in Brazil, to get liability protection for the COVID vaccine. So they can shortcut safety studies, they can rush to market. They don't mind, because they're not going to pay a price for it. They don't pick up the tab for the damage done.
So let's take Australia, for example, United States, Canada, United Kingdom, where they keep saying we will not go back to normal until a vaccine appears or arrives or is administered to a percentage of the population, a very high percentage of the population. Are they reading from a script? Who's telling these politicians that this is the answer, this is the solution?
Alarmingly, it seems to me that the first person to propagate this notion was actually Bill Gates, a man who simply by virtue of his wealth, certainly not by any virtue of any training, has assumed a role as czar of public health policy worldwide, an individual health choice for every citizen of the globe. And he is the one who started the notion that this will not get back to normal until we've largely vaccinated all 7 billion people in the world. And that mantra has been taken up by politicians. And it's really very, very frightening, because it kind of sets the stage. The expectation, we will not get back to normal until we have a vaccine. The vaccine will not get us back to normal. It won't do it. I don't think the vaccines have got more than 6 months to a year on the market before they're withdrawn due to adverse reactions. That's my personal opinion based upon the movie I've just made and the findings that came from that movie. Past experience, that's my feeling. That's how it's going to go down. But we'll see.